So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And this morning, I want to talk to you about abiding in Jesus, which is, man, it is foundational for anything that we want to do as believers. But I hope that it encourages you and motivates you this morning. This is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. You know, a lot of people will ask you, what's your favorite verse? And I don't know that I can pick a verse, but I'll tell you, John 15 is on that list for sure. I love it. I would encourage you, we're not going to read all of it this morning, but put it on your list to read this week and just go through it maybe multiple times. There are so many good things that Jesus challenges me with in this passage. And so write it down, remember John 15 and read through it and pray through it this week. But let's look together, starting in verse 4. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. What I love about this passage is the intimate language that Jesus uses, right? He's saying it's a relationship. You need to know me. You need to be connected to me. And if there's one thing that I could challenge you with today that I get from this passage is that Jesus is more concerned with your being than your doing. Jesus is more concerned with your being than your doing. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of flipping this around. And I don't know, I find that a lot in the church. We like to say that I have to do enough to be enough. But that is not the picture that we get of our relationship with Jesus. He's saying, first, come and be with me. Come and be. I love the picture of the vine and the branches. We have to be connected to Jesus, the life, the source, the blood, connected to him. And out of that will flow our doing. Out of that will flow our doing. I try so often to do all in my own strength, right? And I'm ineffective, just like the Bible says. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You have to be connected with Jesus. He's calling us in this passage to be with him, to be in relationship with him. There's a missionary that says it this way: abiding in Jesus is the primary way we survive and thrive. And if you think about the picture that Jesus uses, if you separate the branch from the vine, it's not going to survive, and it certainly isn't going to thrive and produce any fruit, right? And the same is true with us. We have to be connected as followers of Jesus, connected to the vine, or we won't survive and we certainly won't thrive. And church, I want to encourage you today, relationship with Jesus, we're supposed to thrive, not just survive week after week, right? Not just hang on till Sunday. We should be living a life that is thriving and empowered because Jesus lives in us. Amen? In order to go and do, we first have to be and live in Jesus. That really is the foundation of it. And I want to highlight three things, kind of benefits, byproducts of abiding in Jesus for you this morning that I hope you can take with you, write them down. And the first one is this: when we're abiding in Jesus, we have our purpose. When we're abiding in Jesus, we have our purpose. You know, I think of a lot of the young people that I work with. Like I said, we love students. We love young adults. And really, that's the time of life where they're saying, man, why am I here on earth? What is my purpose? Why am I here? You know, as if they're thinking about college, what do I want to study? What do I want to devote my life to? And the truth is, the only way that we learn what that purpose is by being with Jesus. That's where we learn our purpose. And we've talked about it this morning already, but I believe that God's purpose for all believers is to share our faith with others. God's heart is for all people, every nation, every people group, every language. That's why he left us here. I mean, think about it. I think it would be pretty awesome is, you know, when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we get to go to heaven right away. That'd be pretty great, right? We would escape all the brokenness and the heartache of life here on earth because heaven is amazing, right? But that's not what he does. He leaves us here in brokenness. He leaves us here in a fallen world because he wants us to share our faith. Friends, that's our purpose. If you call yourself a Christian this morning, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, that is your purpose, to share that with others. Now, I also believe that this looks differently for every person, right? I believe God has specific things for each person in this room. Not just some of you, every single person here. God has put you here for a reason. He has put you not only here in this room this morning, but he has put you here on earth at this time in history for a reason, for a purpose. He has something for you. There's a specific way that he wants you to share your faith with other people. There's a specific avenue. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's a missionary. I believe some of you here this morning might be called to be a missionary. But maybe it's through your business. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a doctor or a nurse. Whatever it is, God is calling us to use that to share our faith with other people, to share the hope and life that we have in Jesus with others. And the only way we're going to know what this is by abiding in Jesus, is by spending the time to be with him, to learn his heart. As we spend time with him, we learn more and more about what is God passionate about? What has he deposited in me to share with the world? And you know what also? When we're abiding in Jesus, man, this is really, we learn that purpose. It's also what keeps us going. We can keep going. Right? When it's difficult, when we have to learn the very difficult Thai language, when we have to learn that, there's going to be days when it's going to be tough. There's going to be days when we're not going to understand, when we're not going to understand culture. But we know that God has called us there. We know that it's his purpose that we're there. And it's on those days that we can say our mission isn't just fueled by our feelings, but it's fueled by faithfulness to Jesus. And the same is true for you. When whatever it is that God has called you to do, when you face a difficult day, you come back to purpose. And you say, God has put me here for this. If God is calling you to start a business, you say, you know what? This is a difficult day, but God has called me to do this. He has birthed this dream and this purpose in me. So today I'm not going to go by my feelings. I'm going to be faithful to God. Amen. That is one of the many, many things that we get when we abide in Jesus. We learn our purpose. The second one is this. When we're abiding in Jesus, we have protection. We have protection. You know, oftentimes when God calls us, it's scary, not just as a missionary, but whatever it is that God has called you to do, it can be overwhelming and intimidating to think about. I often think that some of the most uncomfortable situations are sharing your faith with your family, right? That can be uncomfortable and maybe awkward, right? But it's in those moments where we know that God is with us. We can keep going. Now, Scripture doesn't say that when we're abiding in Jesus, we have an easy life or a comfortable life, right? As a matter of fact, in John 16, he says the opposite. He says, you're going to face trouble in life. You know, if you didn't know that this morning, I hope I didn't just burst your bubble. But Jesus promises that we will have difficult things. But he says, take courage because I've already overcome it. When we're abiding, we have protection. I love this in Psalm 27. This is David. And he says in verse 4, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What is he talking about? He's talking about abiding. He's saying, God, I just want to be with you. I want to live with you. I want to dwell with you. And then he says this in verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. He will hide me in the day of trouble. Notice, David says there is going to be a day of trouble. There's going to be difficult things that we all face and we all go through. But God's presence is with us. We have his protection. As close as we can get to him, we can just say, God, I just want to be close to you. This is a difficult season. But God, I want to be close to you and close and protected in your presence. You know, my family and I experienced this firsthand when I was pregnant with Jory, our second daughter, our two-year-old. It was August of 2016, and we had just started the process to become a missionary. And to become an AG, Assemblies of God World Missionary, is a long process. It's a good process, but it's a lot of paperwork. And so we're like, we're excited. We're getting into this. We're getting ready for our first interview. We were super excited. And we had found out we were having Jory, our second daughter. I was about 10 weeks pregnant. And I was having some breathing problems, so we went to the doctor, and they found a large tumor in my left lung, and I was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer at 10 weeks pregnant. And I went in, and I had surgery in August of 2016 at 10 weeks pregnant to remove the tumor, but also to remove my entire left lung. So I just have my right lung. All in all, I had about 4 surgeries, faced a really serious infection from the surgeries, all while I was pregnant. But friends, can I just encourage you this morning? Can I just brag on God for a minute? God healed me, and I'm cancer-free. Didn't have to do, yes. Didn't have to do any chemo or radiation. God spared me from that. And he protected Jory. She was born completely normal. It was a completely normal delivery. And she is totally healthy. If you would meet her today, she'd be running around. She's a completely normal little girl. God protected her. And now, guys, this is awesome. I can breathe even better now than I could before. How cool is that? Right? Amen. That's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, that I can get up every day. You know, I when I share my story, I like to share it because it just gives a little piece of what we've experienced. But I also like to, man, just say, this is what God can do. God still heals today. And I have many people that say, well, you probably have limitations. And no, God healed me. I can breathe better. I can exercise better. And I can have more energy with my kids. It's amazing. God is just that good. You know, and I love to share that. But I also want to share, you know, it was very difficult to go through that, to walk through that. And if you've ever experienced a cancer or a sickness that's similar or a difficult situation, it's uncertain, and sometimes it can seem hopeless or difficult. But I want to encourage you today that when we were walking through that, we felt God's peace with us. He was with us. Oftentimes, we could laugh and have fun in the hospital rooms. We had nurses that would say to us, what's different about you guys? You guys, we like coming into your hospital room because you're fun and you're optimistic and you seem to have hope and peace and joy. And what an awesome opportunity for us to say, well, here's why. Here's why we have peace. Because it didn't matter what I faced, I knew that my eternity, my relationship, it was secure and certain with Jesus. And I want to encourage you, you have access to that same peace, to that same joy. It comes when we're abiding in his presence. We're protected no matter what we face, no matter what difficult situation comes up. We can say, he is with me. He is with me. It's okay that I'm walking through this difficult season. God is with me. Amen? You have access to that peace. When we're abiding in Jesus, we have protection. And the third thing is this. When we're abiding in Jesus, we will produce. If you go back to that John 15, I want to keep reading a little bit further in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You know, trees are known by what they produce, right? I had this project when I was in 7th grade. It was a summer project. Gross. Boo to summer projects, right? So I have to admit my mom probably did 90% of it over the summer. But thank you, Mom. But it was a project. And as I read and study this passage, this comes back to mind. It was a biology project where we had to go and pick up leaves and identify what tree it was based on the leaf. And as I read this passage, I'm reminded of this project because we could pick up the leaf. We had a book that would guide us. And this is this kind of tree. We didn't have to see the whole tree. We could just tell by the leaf. And the same is true for our relationship with Jesus. People should look at us and we should be known by the fruit that we produce. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you will prove to be my disciples by what you produce in your life. And it only comes by being with Jesus. Like I said, the doing only comes out of being. And I have to be honest, as I read this passage, verses 7 and 8, sometimes I'm tempted to read them and think, man, this means when I'm abiding with Jesus, I'm going to have it all. Like I'm going to have a good job and a good car and a good house. I'm tempted to read it through the eyes of worldly success, what the world defines as success. But really what Jesus is saying is when you're abiding in me, you're not going to have worldly success. You're going to have a quality of character that looks like me. You're going to begin to look more and more like me. The world is going to say, what is it about you You come into work, it's a difficult day, it's, you know, it's a negative work atmosphere, but you are positive and you have joy and you have peace. Why is that? We, as followers of Jesus, should begin to produce fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit that we learn about, we read about in Galatians 5. That's the kind of fruit that we will begin to produce in our lives. The more we get close to Jesus, the closer we get to his heart, the more we're going to produce these fruits. And I don't know about you, but I need more patience. I need more gentleness and self-control, right? Now, I have to, you know, I often read this and I have to ask myself a difficult question every once in a while, just an assessment. You know, if I'm not producing this fruit, am I really abiding in Jesus? If I'm not producing more and more of these fruits of the Spirit, am I really abiding in Jesus? It's a tough question I ask myself. But the truth is, if we're truly following Jesus, it's a promise that we see in verse 15. We will produce fruit that begins to look like him. We will. And let me say this to encourage you too. Fruit just doesn't grow overnight, right? I mean, you think about it, you plant the seed and you wait for it, you water it. This is true of fruits of the Spirit as well. You need to take time and spend time with Jesus, right? It's not like we say one magical prayer and all of a sudden we have all of the goodness and gentleness and self-control there is, right? Now, sometimes he does do that. There are many times where, man, I go into a day and I'm like, this day is so difficult. I don't have a lot of peace. And I spend a minute in his presence and I have peace. That does happen. But friends, let me encourage you. Some of these fruits, faithfulness and self-control, it takes time to develop in your life. Don't be discouraged if you sit here this morning and you say, well, I don't have a lot of patience, so am I not really following Jesus? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe we just need more time. We need to take more time to spend with him. When we're abiding in Jesus, we will produce. Something really practical that I've already kind of mentioned this morning is taking time. How do we abide in Jesus? It just takes time. You know, I think in our culture, we like things really fast, really quick, right? I'm guilty of it too, right? We have a couple different Starbucks. Does anybody like Starbucks? There's a couple that, no? you have one now, right? A newer one? I like how you guys are just like, no, we don't like Starbucks. That's okay. But, you know, you can relate this to any other restaurant or fast food place. But there's two different Starbucks in Green Bay, and I go to the one that's faster because I want that one, even if it's a minute further away from my house, right? We live in a culture that wants things quick. And unfortunately, we sometimes relate that to our relationship with Jesus. But guys, there's no fast faith. There's no substitute, quick substitute that you can take. There's nothing that will take the place of spending quality time with Jesus. There's nothing that will do that. And I often have to remind myself of that. I often have to say, okay, God, I know that, you know, right now I'd much rather be watching TV or I'd much rather stay up later at night, but I know that I need to protect my time with you. Something that you can do. I know I do this. I actually write in my calendar when I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I literally will write like abiding time or whatever you want to write. But I challenge you to do the same because our family, we're so busy. We run everything by our calendar, right? We have one on our phone that Brandon and I share. He can add something to it. I can see it. But I write it in there because I cannot miss it. I cannot miss that time with Jesus. I need that time. Protect that time like it's a meeting with somebody else. You know, if you had a doctor's appointment or a meeting for work, you probably wouldn't miss it, right? If it was in your calendar, I hope not. And I hope the same is true with your relationship with Jesus. Put that time in your calendar. Find what works. For me, it's the morning. For Brandon, it's the evening. He is not a morning person. I'm a morning person. I love my coffee in the morning. I get up. I spend time with God in the morning. Find what works for you and protect it. Because I promise you, it's the most important thing you can do in your day. It's the most important thing. It's the most productive thing you can do in your day is to just pause and spend time with Jesus. Amen. You know, I heard one of my professors at college, he would say, you know, at the end of your life, nobody is going to say, man, I wish I spent less time with Jesus. Right? We're always going to say the opposite. Man, I wish I had just spent more time getting to know God. I wish I had spent more time getting to know God's heart and then sharing it with others. Those are the things that we're going to look back on and say, man, I wish I had made that more of a priority. And so my challenge for you today is to do that. Make it a priority. Spend time with him. Find what works. Because I promise you, you won't regret it. You won't regret it. And it's in those moments, those mornings that you have with Jesus, or those evenings, whatever it looks like for you, where you're going to say, man, this is why God put me here. This is my purpose. Like, this is what God has called me to do. Or maybe you're going through a difficult season and you spend that time with God morning after morning or evening after evening. And then you say, man, this is a difficult season of life I'm in, but I feel God's peace with me. He's with me. I have his protection. And you're going to look back and you know, for me personally, I've really seen myself grow a lot recently in the area of self-control. I've been trying to be healthy, you know, as a missionary. When you travel so much, it's hard. It's really hard to be healthy and consistent. But I've learned that, man, the more and more I spend time and prioritize time with Jesus, I find myself making healthier decisions throughout my day. You know, I want to eat better. I want to take better care of my body because I'm spending more time with Jesus, and I want to be able to do all the things he's called me to do to the very best of my ability. And it happens little by little by little. So the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you're going to crave time with Jesus, the more you're going to want to be in his presence. As we finish, as we close this morning, I just want to pray over you guys. So if we could just maybe bow our heads, close your eyes, just get in a moment where you're just kind of by yourself. Quiet your hearts. I know that we all have a lot of things that we're thinking about for the rest of the day. You know, what's next? What's lunch? Or whatever you're thinking about. Maybe you weren't thinking about lunch and now you are. Sorry. But if we could just quiet our hearts, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we know that you've already been here all morning. You've been with us. You're with us everywhere that we go. But right now, we acknowledge you. We tune our hearts into your frequency. We just want to hear whatever it is that you want to say to us. God, we thank you that you are still a God that speaks today. We thank you that you are close to us. The world likes to tell us that you're far away and distant and cold, but that is not who you are. You are a good Father. You're close to us. You want to speak to us. And God, we just open up our ears and our hearts. We ask that you would quiet the distractions today. And God, we surrender as we sang about this morning. We surrender. We give ourselves away to you. We want to know you more. We want to know your heart more and more. God, challenge us continually. We will never outgrow abiding in you. We always need challenged in that. We ask, God, that you would encourage us and motivate us, challenge us, speak areas of our lives that need more surrender to you, because we just want to spend more and more time with you, God. Whatever it is, whatever we need to give up or surrender so that we can spend more time with you, we do that today, God. We make that decision. We say today, we resolve in our hearts that abiding in you is the very best decision we can make every day. And help us to make that. It's a daily decision. We want more of you, God. We want to be with you. We want relationship with you. And God, I believe out of that is going to flow the doing. Out of that, we're going to see ourselves have more compassion and love for our coworkers. Out of our being, we're going to see ourselves become more patient parents. We're going to see ourselves be more patient with our spouse. Out of relationship with you, Jesus, we're going to see the love for the lost grow and develop more in our lives. And God, as we spend more and more time with you, God, we will become more like you. That's really, truly our desire this morning. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.